Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 388, stanzas 1 through 5. To thee, O Lord, I humbly cry. To thee my supplication make. To thee I bring my sad complaint. To thee my bitter grief I take. 1 through 5 of Psalter 388.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. First, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, as shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Eric Slingerland of the Calgary branch, who were blessed with a well-born daughter in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, for the second time in this day, we appear in thy presence in a public way, gathering for worship. Lord, thou knowest our capability for this spiritual act since our deep fall, that we are no longer able to worship thee in spirit and in truth, as thou art to be worshipped, because we have lost all spiritual life. And Lord, then we gather in a way wherein we do honor thy ordinances. We gather because we are taught to gather, and maybe even in an outward way, and that we have a little desire that we may be instructed in thy truth, and maybe even a desire that we may come to know that God, that true God of the children of Israel. Lord, if it is so in this afternoon hour, may it be fulfilled in our midst. But Lord, thou knowest that thy spirit that goes not out as heretofore. And we hope to consider the truth of thy holy word as it has been explained and brought to us by our forefathers. Lord, thou hast given them unto us. Thou hast given this instruction unto us, and we do confess before all the world and all the community wherein we live that thou art the true and thou art the living God, that thou art not an idle God who has eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, and a mouth in which there is no breath. But we acknowledge before them all that thou art the living God, that thou art the true God, that thou art the only God. And Lord, then thou hast the power also. But what have we to show? Lord, thou knowest what our heart and our life is. Oh, that with such a confession, that we may not be without that power of thy spirit in the midst of the world in which we live, so that the world is given to mock with thy truth, and that they are able to say, what have you for the God which ye do profess to serve and love? To worship, Lord, wilt thou give to us then new hearts? Oh, give that our lives also
may shine with that grace that alone can come from Thee, who art the true and the living God, and that others also may see and confess, and that indeed that it is a people who worship a God which is alive, that others also may be drawn to that true service of Thee. Lord, then we cannot give it to ourselves even with all the truth that we may profess to have and believe in an outward way. We need that truth to be impressed with the saving power of Thy Spirit in our soul. Oh, we beseech Thee, therefore, for the sake of Thy own name, that Thou wouldst do so unto us and unto our children, that Thy name may be spread abroad upon the face of the earth, and that men may be brought to seek and to serve Thee, and that we may not go lost with our children and stand on that great judgment day as those who have heard and acknowledged Thy truth, but in whom it has found no place within our hearts and lives. Lord, then it shall be an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, that Thou would make a difference also within our hearts, that it may not be only in our life that there is a separation from this world, but that that difference may be wrought within us, that we may be evidently a people who are chosen by Thee, who are favored by Thee, not different from this world in any way of our own flesh, but only wretched and miserable, sinful creatures, even as all the world, but is separated and put apart by Thee because of Thy own good pleasure. Lord, then Thy name will receive honor and glory, beginning here below and extending to a never-ending eternity. Remember us then, young and old, all together, because we all stand in need of that same thing. Wilt Thou remember those that have been gladdened in the week that is gone by? Thou hast given a child in the midst of this family. Lord, it is a firstborn child. Thou hast made all things well to this moment. Wilt Thou strengthen the mother and the child together? And wilt Thou give that it may indeed be a child born to be born again, and that the parents may feel the great responsibility that now lays upon their shoulders, that it may be also with us a renewed sense as parents in the instructing, in the leading, in the teaching, in the warning of our children. Lord, make us faithful therein, and that we indeed may go before our children, and that we may be to them truly an example of a God-fearing father, a God-fearing mother, and that in that great day of days, the fruit thereof may be evident. Wilt Thou look upon all those that have special needs in this world, when also in the midst of us as a community, Thy judgments have been laid upon us. Lord, when the hail has come from the skies, and when here and there are those that have been so affected thereby, Lord, wilt Thou now remember us? Oh, that Thou may give that this calling also may be sanctified and blessed, because we so easy go on We look upon the second causes. We look upon the climate. We look upon the weather. But we look not unto the maker thereof. Thou didst speak against thy people for so doing in the days gone by. Lord, wilt thou remember us that we would not follow in their example, but that we may take to heart the blessings and the callings together, and that they may lead us to acknowledge the hand of Thee who art the Most High, and that we may turn from our vain, carnal, and evil ways, and that we may be drawn to seek Thee while Thou art still to be found. Wilt Thou look upon each and every one? There are crosses, there are burdens that are hidden from men. There are those that must bear them in their own secret places. Lord, when man is not able to help, then Thou art able to be our helper, that Thou may give a place upon the knees in the inner chambers to husbands, to wives, to children, to the unmarried, to those who have no children, to those who carry burdens and crosses of ill health, or that have difficulties in business. Lord, remember each and every one, and that Thy word may become precious to us through all these callings, and that we may feel that our life that goes to the grave, that there is nothing that is able to satisfy the emptiness that we have brought upon ourselves in our deep fall, that we may turn to Thee, that we may seek in Thee, and that which we are not able to find in this world and in ourself, and that we may see a great preciousness in Thy blessed communion, favor, and worship. Wilt Thou go before us in this afternoon hour? Lord, help us in the bringing of Thy holy word. Give us freedom. Give us liberty. May it be opening in Thy word for the sake of Thy church here below. And that there may be new life. And that there may be conviction of sin within our hearts. That we may learn to confess our sin before Thee, that we may receive forgiveness, that we may be washed and cleansed in that precious and that all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 356, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains brought, His people are surrounded forever by their God. All stanzas of Psalter 356. Congregation, what is the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church? That is, justification through sanctification. That means that they believe that a man is first made holy by the Holy Spirit, and because he is then holy, based on this holiness, he is justified. That is, that the Roman Catholic Church is making much too much of sanctification. Sanctification, we know, that is not perfect in this life. Also for God's own children. And something which is not perfectly holy is not possible to be our justification. What is the practical fruit of this doctrine? That is, a careful life, because holiness, that is what is leading to justification, but it is legal. That is, it is based then upon an old and a broken covenant. That is the doctrine of Rome. What is the doctrine of those who are called antinomians? That is just the opposite. They say, let us do evil that good may come. Thus, they say that the justification of man, that is complete, and because a man is justified, and because a man is forgiven all his sins by God, then it is not necessary that we live a careful life. Then we do not need to be holy. Therefore, that is a doctrine which leads to a licentious life, a wicked life. As if the Lord does not say in his word, be holy, for I am holy. The church needs not only to be justified, the church needs not only to be forgiven, the church needs not only to have a right to enter in, but the church also needs to be sanctified. The church also needs to be cleansed. The church also needs to be made fit to enter in. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, has taught them first to ask for the forgiveness of their sins. But immediately afterwards, then he has taught his disciples to pray that they may be kept from sin. And this is therefore the subject of our attention in this afternoon out of Lord's Day 52. Lord's Day 52, and then only the first question, question 127. Question 127. Which is the sixth petition? Answer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. So far, our Lord's Day, a petition to be preserved from sin. First, why the church needs to be preserved. Second, by whom the church needs to be preserved. Third, how long the church needs to be preserved. Thus, a petition to be preserved from sin. First, why the church needs to be preserved. Second, by whom the church needs to be preserved. And third, how long the church needs to be preserved. And lead us not into temptation. Thus, what is temptation? We might define, we might call temptation the enticement to sin. Where does that come from? Well, in the first place, that comes from the devil. That comes from Satan. He is called the tempter. And indeed, if Satan had not tempted our first parents, then sin had never been brought into this world, because our first parents had no inclination to sin. They were created very good, upright, in the image of God, and there was nothing within them to draw them unto sin. And thus for them, it was necessary that there was some other inducement, some other enticement for our first parents. How different it has become with you and me after the fall. Because after the fall, man himself has become corrupt, so that man needs not Satan, man needs not inducements, but man himself, he is inclined always unto sin. Thus, a willing slave now of our father, the devil, the Lord Jesus said, whom we have chosen in paradise. Thus, Satan, now ourselves, but we know that temptations, they are also coming to us in various circumstances in this world. Thus, it is when the restraints in this world are being removed, or when those restraints are withheld from us, that man is falling into sin. Sin receives then an opportunity. We say sometimes that for sin to take place, we need two things. A young people, we need first an opportunity, and we need also the desire. But now, after the fall, the desire is there. That is what is lying in our natural heart. And so, as we go through this world, then that desire that is only waiting, and it is only looking here and there as we travel through this world for an opportunity that it may do what it in itself desires. our fathers say, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. Thus, they speak about weakness and about standing. What do they mean? Well, they are speaking about a warfare against sin. That warfare that does not exist in the natural heart. That is a warfare that is born in the day of the new birth. Then you say, maybe, that I also must know something of that new birth, because I also feel somewhat of a warfare within me. And when I also feel temptation, and I also struggle against those temptations, wait a moment, because that warfare of that militant church that belongs alone to that church, yes, but indeed there is something of a certain warfare that is also going on in the natural heart of man. What is that? That is warfare because our conscience is speaking. And when we are brought up under the truth and we are taught by father and mother what is good and bad, what is right and wrong, and what the consequences of our sin will be, then there is somewhat of a warfare between that which we have been taught and that which lives in our conscience, and that fear for the consequences of that sin, and that desire, and that wretched, that evil desire that is living in our heart. And then we are disappointed that we are not permitted by our conscience to carry out that which our natural heart desires. That warfare that is different in that church of God. Because within them there is a warfare not only between the conscience and the heart, but there is warfare here within their heart. And that is because there are in their two hearts, there is that old heart that has never died. We read it in God's word. It is called the old man, who will not die until they die and their body is laid in the grave. That is still that wretched flesh, Paul calls it, that is desiring and that has nothing but an inclination after sin. And now also a new heart. That is a heart that desires something else. That is a heart that disagrees so much with that old heart. That is a heart that hates sin because it loves God. And that is therefore a heart which is bringing a great inward struggle. Not only because the conscience says that it is wrong, not only because they fear the consequences of that sin, but because they love God, because they hate that evil as it is in itself. And therefore, there is this warfare, there is this new desire, which does not lie in our heart by nature, that is a desire to walk uprightly. That is a desire to walk that straight and that narrow pathway that leadeth unto life. Now it is in that warfare that that church is finding something out. They are finding out how strong that old man is. The will of that old man. What do our fathers say? They say that the will of that old man that is so strong, that with the temptation, they say, that we are not able to stand for one moment. Then it is not only our flesh, but our fathers speak of more. We read here of the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Thus our fathers speak about three enemies. And not only are they enemies, but our fathers, they call these mortal enemies. So a mortal enemy is an enemy that is not seeking only that we would not receive welfare, but a mortal enemy is an enemy that is actually seeking our death. Mortal enemies. Is that possible? That Satan, he would achieve the eternal death of that true church of God? No, that is not possible. Why not? Because that new man is so strong? Because he is stronger than that old man? No. It is not possible because the people of the Lord, they are preserved. And how often along the way do that people not fear that they shall be eternally destroyed? These mortal enemies, our fathers say, cease not to assault the church. It was for this reason that the Lord has instructed His church to watch. And yet those mortal enemies, they are not able to force a man to sin. But how do those mortal enemies work? Those mortal enemies are attacking the will. And it is because they are attacking the will, and that then man must make a choice whether he will fight, whether he will resist, or whether he will go along with the temptation, because that is our own choice from our own will. It is for this reason that you and I remain accountable for every sin. For this reason, we will have to stand before God in the judgment. And therefore, the Lord Jesus instructs His people to watch. And we read here that He teaches them to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Temptation in itself is not sin. The Lord Jesus also was tempted of the devil. And the Lord Jesus was without sin. Thus, it is not the temptation itself which is a sin, but it is the inclination unto that temptation which is sin. It is that very inclination itself that is lying in our heart, that is always drawing toward this temptation which is sin. The Roman Catholic Church says no. That inclination in the heart of man, that is not sin, no. But it must actually come to some fruition. Not necessarily to the act, but it must actually come to a choice in the heart, in the mind of a man, in order that it may be sin. Solomon, however, writes, "The thought of foolishness is sin." And that is our very nature. for the Lord Jesus Christ, it was so very different. When the inducement to sin that was placed before the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he also had a human nature and he was also hungry, and his human nature did desire the food that Satan set before him, and yet the nature of the Lord Jesus, because of his holiness, that was repulsed by this temptation. That is not so in the heart of you and I. That is actually in the heart of you and I just the opposite. And that we, as it were, that we are rolling that sin as a sweet morsel under our tongue. And that we are enjoying something of the thought, even, of this sin. Maybe the Lord prevents us. Maybe it does not turn into an actual act. But that is not because of any repulsion in our being to this evil. And before that temptation is finished, we have already polluted ourselves. With what? With a certain delight. The certain delight in our mind, in our heart, that this object that is my neighbor's, that it would be mine. That was sweet to me. And it is this inclination, it is this sweetness that is sin within our being. Therefore, our fathers say, we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. And besides this, our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us. Thus, these three mortal enemies, and they are working so well together, these three mortal enemies, they are united, as it were, in their purpose. The flesh of Judas that desires the bag, desires the riches of this world. We read the devil enters into Judas, and that Pharisaical church, they are so glad, and Judas hangs himself. That is now the work of the devil, to unite all of these forces that they are working together for the destruction of man. And so the devil is also attacking within the true church of God. Because in that true conversion, then the devil is losing his subjects. And this is infuriating that prince of darkness. See what the devil is bringing against Job. In an outward way, he is given some license. He brings it against his goods. He brings it against his family. And then he brings even his dear wife. Curse God and die. The devil, he is not permitted to touch Job. But if he could, then he would destroy him. See how the flesh of David was so united with what Satan would bring about. When Satan tempts David to number the people. Say it says in the Word of God that this was from the Lord. That is true. And yet we read, James says, that the Lord does not tempt man with evil. No, he is not required to restrain man. He is not obligated to restrain the devil. He may let go of those restraints and allow them to go in their own way. He has his own purpose. What is that purpose? He will chastise his own people. They have sinned against him. Well, the devil has his purpose. And the devil's purpose is the destruction of God's servant and the destruction of God's people. And David, he also has his sinful purpose. And even that wicked Joab, he is warning David of it, detesting the pride that is living in his heart. These three enemies, we, so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment. What do we need, therefore? We need to be preserved. That is our second thought. By whom? The church needs to be preserved. Do thou, therefore, preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes. As long as the church is in the world, then also the tempter is going to be among them. And since then that people are so weak in themselves that they cannot stand a moment, then they need help from above to withstand the temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is there ever a cry in our heart that we may be delivered when we arise in the morning, that we may be delivered, that we would not enter into that sin, those temptations that are going to come against us in that day that lies before us? Then we are not placing ourselves with purpose in the way of temptation. That is completely inconsistent. Of course, sometimes there is no way out. Sometimes we are brought into circumstances of temptation within our daily labors. And the Lord is able to keep us. So he kept Joseph. So he kept Daniel and his three friends in their great temptations. The Lord is also able to restrain Satan in his temptations, as he did evidently for Job. We read concerning Joshua the high priest that the Lord, he is sometimes rebuking Satan. The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Sometimes the Lord is delivering his people from those temptations altogether. We read in the garden, the Lord Jesus is taken by the enemy. He gives himself over to the enemy. And then he commands the enemy, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. And then they may not touch the people of the Lord. But generally, it is the Lord's way in this life to leave his people amidst many temptations. Even as the Lord said that Job, that he would not take away that thorn in the flesh of Paul. What did the Lord Jesus pray to his Father? Not that his people should be taken out of this world, but that his people should be delivered from the evil. But what is now that work that belongs to the church? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." Why? The spirit is willing, but the flesh that is weak. Thus, he says two things. Watch and pray. What does that mean, to watch? To watch, that means to be active. That means to be paying very strict attention, to be very cautious, that we are looking where that enemy is. When we are fighting an enemy in this world, then we are always watching, where is that enemy going to appear? And then we will make certain that we are not in that same place, so that we are not suddenly overcome by this enemy. So there must also be with temptation, that we are diligently watching, what are now those places that I know that there was a great temptation for me yesterday, last week, last time, that I am not entering into those places. That is not the offensive, but that is the defensive position in the warfare. What is the difference between the offensive and the defensive position in a warfare? When we are on the offense, then we are seeking out the enemy. We are going, we are looking for that enemy. And when does a man look for the enemy? When he feels himself to be stronger. And when he knows, when he meets that enemy, that he has sufficient power to overcome that enemy and to destroy him. The defensive position, that is something very different. The defensive position, that is only fighting when it is necessary. That is fearing the enemy because he knows that that enemy is much stronger than he is. Then he is not seeking him out, no. And then he is seeking to flee away from this very strong enemy. Thus he fights for self-defense. Thus he fights when it is necessary for his life. There is a Christianity, young people. You will meet it when you become more acquainted with this world, when you have to go out into this world, when you will be speaking with others, then you are going to meet a Christianity that is proceeding out of a very optimistic view of man. They are on the offensive. They are ready to go forth. They are ready to conquer the flesh. They are ready to conquer the world. They are ready to conquer sin. And they are going to take this world and they are going to use it for God. Then we are going to spread the gospel through the use of movies and through the internet. Then we are going to conquer the world for him. We are going to use the radio. We are going to have a Christian radio station. And not only that, but we are going to conquer Satan himself. We are going to take the rock music, which is from hell itself, and we are going to make Christian rock music. That is all proceeding out of this very optimistic view of man. That proceeds from the assumption that we are strong.
And we are able to overcome the evil that is within our own hearts and all the evil that is in this world. We do not have to fear temptation. No, we have to go out. We have to seek it out. And we need to overcome it.
That is a denial of the deep fall of man. And our fathers, they have disagreed. So weak, they say in ourselves, that we cannot stand a moment. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare. Now we have a completely different picture of the practice of God's people. Then they experience that they have no might against that great company of sin, of evil, of the enemy, that triple-headed enemy that is coming against them. Peter learned it. He was not able to stand with that enemy. He should never have gone in onto that place of temptation where he thought he was going to assist the Lord Jesus. But it was with an optimistic view of Peter. But the Lord warned him. And he said, "No, Peter, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Therefore, the Lord Jesus says, watch. Therefore, a young people, Joseph, fled out of that house of his master. Therefore, Paul says to Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Our evil natures need to be restrained. We cannot trust ourselves. Therefore, Paul even says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That is not what we do when we are sitting on the beaches with half-naked people. Then we think ourselves to be very strong. Then we think ourselves to be stronger than Job, who had to make a covenant with his eyes so that he would not sin against the Lord. That is not what we do when we bring the television and an unfiltered internet into our home. We say, I will watch my hand. That proceeds from a very optimistic view of man and a denial of the weakness of our flesh. That is not what we do, young people, when we play with fire in dating. That is not what we do to watch against temptation. When we are among friends that we know and like to do those things which are not permitted by the Lord. That is not what we do, fathers and mothers. When we are with the opposite gender meeting with people alone in this world. The destruction of so many marriages, the hurt of so many children. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That was the second thing the Lord Jesus says. Watch and pray. That is now the most important part. Why is that now the most important part? Pray. Because with all our watching, oh, we still cannot trust ourselves. And we are so weak.
in ourselves. That is not for God's people, only in the beginning of that way, so that they become stronger and stronger, and later on they need watch no more. No, we see in our third thought how long. But first we sing. Psalter 336, 1 and 2. I have followed truth and justice. Leave me not in deep distress. Be my help and my protection. Let the proud no more oppress. For thy word and thy salvation, Lord, my eyes with longing fail. Teach thy statutes to thy servants. Let thy mercy now prevail. 1 and 2 of Psalter 336. Do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare,
but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. What did the Lord Jesus teach his people to pray? Taught them to pray for help. Keep us, help us. Until when? Until death takes us out of this warfare. Why until then? Because that warfare will not cease even until that day. And there will be no complete victory over that warfare of sin as long as the people are still breathing in this world. And because it remains a weak church in themselves, thus we never become the Christian here below. No, that is a completely unbiblical view of the true church of God. It is an afflicted and it is a poor people who shall learn to trust in the name of the Lord. Till at last we obtain a complete victory. Time and again you hear that bodies, they are brought back again from the warfare, from Iraq. And then there are those that are mourning. But this shall never be in the warfare of that true church. There is not one of that militant church of God that shall go lost. Why not? Because that victory that is already won. That seed of that woman has already bruised that head of that serpent. Why does that church then still have to fight? Why is there then even a warfare? It is because of the decree of the Lord. And it remains their lot. That is from the Lord. That is now the only reason. And that was promised already to that people in paradise. Because then it was said that that serpent shall bruise his heel, and that heel is his church. Thus the church of God, they are going to know from what they have been delivered on that great day, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Who can know what that victory shall be? That is going to be such a different world. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For that first heaven and that first earth were passed away. And what does he say? And there was no more sea. What does Isaiah say? He says, the wicked, they are like the troubled sea that cannot rest. And then there is a symbolism there in that book of Revelation. There was no more sea. There was no more enemy for that true church of God to trouble them from without or from within. That is now the church triumphant. And they are forever going to glorify him who has won that warfare. Congregation, will we also be a part of that church triumphant? There is not one that will be part of the church triumphant who is not made in this world one of this church militant. Therefore, we may ask ourselves this question in this afternoon. We may know, that church may know, that they shall in the end receive the victory. It does not say by our fathers, if at last we obtain a complete victory. No, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Thus, there is no question whether that fighting, that warring church is going to receive that victory. It is won already. But are we now one of this fighting church? What think we of sin? Is sin more a trouble to us because of the consequences or because of the evil? What do we think about temptation? Is that something that is very easily overcome by us? Temptation? Then we have not learned so much of the knowledge of our own heart, nor of the strength of this enemy. We read it together. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Did you ever come to know what the strength of that enemy is? Did you ever come to know that you cannot stand for one moment? And then this prayer that the Lord Jesus taught to his disciples to pray, that becomes so precious. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is now a mark of that church militant, that they cannot keep themselves. But people of the Lord, how is it now with your life in this world? Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And the closer that we live to this world, we heard it out of the life of Lot, the closer we live to this world, the greater the temptations will be. And there is much that is lawful. There is very little that is profitable. Sometimes the Lord, he is allowing his people to fall. He is refraining David, Peter. Why? That they may learn more about themselves. How weak, and that without him, they can do nothing. And so they will glorify him forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou forgive our many sins? And Lord, if we have never entered into this warfare, wilt thou make us willing volunteers in that army? For thou hast a willing people in the day of thy power. And we have such a love for sin. Oh, there is such a delight, even in that old man, in the temptations, all that thou may forgive. But wilt thou also draw thy church, that they may need thee more and more, for justification, for sanctification, for a complete redemption. Then that church, and they will not glorify themselves. No, Lord, they will glorify Thee. Oh, teach us how weak we are. Give us to watch and to pray until that last breath is drawn. Wilt Thou be with us in the remainder of this day? Wilt Thou help us again in this evening in a sister congregation? Be with each one when we may be in our homes also. Oh, give that we may desire to read Thy word in that which is based thereon, that Thou may give the profit therefrom. Help us in the labors of the week to come. Keep from all acts that endanger evil and sin. Give meditation upon Thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 31, stanzas 4, 5, and 7. O guard me well, as one doth guard the apple of the eye, while deadly foes are pressing hard. To Thee I cry. Do Thou my rest and refuge be, O let Thy wings o'ershadow me. 4, 5, and 7 of Psalter 31. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord lift up. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.